Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The treasure of your praying.
Amen.
Prayer is how this message will be spoken. I had the distinct impression. You hear me okay?
Yeah.
I had the distinct impression before this meeting we were praying, and I realized that was more important than all my preparation. No amount of preparation can, no amount of preparation is equal to prayer, right? You know, I don't trust in my own preparation. My name is Daniel Smith. I'm from Fairborn, Ohio. I serve there full time. And so, you know, we're going to this this line, exercising the Spirit, right? And we want to see this morning, the message is titled, Exercising the Spirit to Pray to the Lord. You know, we sang this hymn. I'm gonna pull it out. We sang this hymn, 781. I know this is not. This is probably not. Maybe. How many have never sung this hymn before? Are you raise your hand? A good number. You know, I had never sung this hymn before until I went to the full-time training. This hymn is a favorite of Brother Paul Onika. If you've ever. I would say I've been blessed to hear Brother Paul speaking. Sometimes this hymn will come up, and he likes to cite the line from stanza one, I have prayed too little, keen my spirit, nay. And I always wonder, Brother Paul, why are you doing that? Why are you telling me my spirit is not keen? And I would say it's because his spirit was keen, and he knew that our spirits were not that keen. So what is a keen spirit? I wanted to touch on that a little bit. You know, I looked up this word. I felt it was important to look up the definition of words, right? We want to have the right definition of words. So keen. Keen, in the dictionary, is very strong and sensitive.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And keen, we could apply keen to two different things. We could apply it to, like, our mind. Like, we could have a keen mind, which is good. But here, it's not applied, in this hymn, it's not applied to our mind. It's applied to our spirit, right? So we want to have, you know, this hymn kind of is a little bit it's the black background, right, of things that we should not be, right? We don't want to be praying too little, and we want to have a keen spirit, right? We want to have a strong and sensitive spirit, right? And as I was considering that, I said, "Wow, why? What's the purpose of that?" Not that I didn't, you know, accept it, but you know, I asked the question, "Well, why? Why? You know, that's the question we want, not how, but why? Right? Why do we need that?" And so, a keen spirit. When I was searching through the ministry, a keen spirit a lot of times is related to this matter of the intuition in our spirit. The intuition is a direct sense from the Lord concerning a matter, right? And there's not a whole lot spoken on this in the Word, but one example of this is in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, the Lord is he meets a paralytic, right? And he says to the paralytic, he doesn't heal him right away. He says, your sins are forgiven, right? And then it says there's some scribes there, and they're reasoning. It says they're reasoning in their hearts. They're not reasoning out loud. They're reasoning in their hearts.
Right.
You know, how can he say this? How can he say your sins are forgiven? Who does this, you know, Savior think he is? And he knows. The Lord knows their hearts. Because he has this intuition, he has a keen spirit. He knows what's in them. It says in the Word, he knew what they were reasoning within their hearts, right? And this should be the way with us, actually. I had an experience of this this past semester. It was actually during, there was a gospel trip that came through Ohio with some of the trainees. And we had a time on the campus at Wright State where we wanted to just come to, there's an atrium there. It's kind of open. And we wanted to come and just sing. We just wanted to come and sing. And I got there a little bit late because I dropped a bunch of stuff off. I dropped a bunch of people off, rather. I dropped a bunch of people off and then parked and then came inside. And it was when I came inside, there were two women there sitting, and no one was singing. They were just speaking. They're sitting. It was very cordial, I would say. But as I was listening to them, nothing they were saying sounded wrong or off. But there was just some sense. I just had an uneasy sense. What's going on with these ones? And thankfully, Mike was there. So he could eventually say, hey, we'd like to go back to singing. And so we started singing. And later on, we found out these ones were involved with, I don't want to use the word cult, because I think that word is used wrong. They were involved with a group that is very, I'll use the word, unorthodox. I wouldn't have known that unless they had a magazine with the group is called The Way International. Anyways, very unorthodox group. I looked it up later and I was like, whoa. How did I know that? How did I know that? Just something within me, something within my spirit just said, something's off here. Be careful. Even I talked to one of the freshman brothers who had only been amongst us for a few months. And even he told me later, I asked him, hey, what did you think about, what these ones were sharing? And he was like, I don't know, something was off. There's just some sense. Yeah. Even this younger brother, he could sense it. There's something there.
Amen.
And so we want to have, this is the kind of spirit that we want, right? We want to have a strong and sensitive spirit, right? We don't want to have a flimsy, flat spirit, anyways, amen. So, exercising. What is it to exercise, right? I don't know if we've talked about this yet. Exercise. Actually, I know it was mentioned. So we mentioned the Greek word for exercise, right? Gymnasio, right? Well, it related to gymnastics, right? Okay. Exercise is to force yourself.
Amen.
To push yourself, right?
Right. Amen.
How many of you exercise? You might not tell from the look of me, but actually, I do exercise. I exercise my spirit mostly. Amen. But we need to exercise. We need to force ourselves, right, to enjoy the Lord, to touch the Lord, to pray to the Lord. I enjoyed this verse this morning. It just kind of came to me. 1 Corinthians 14:32. The spirits of prophets are subject to prophets.
Amen.
Your spirit is subject to you. Did you know that, John? Your spirit is subject to you. I know you know it. Amen. And this can be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, right? We could force our spirit to do something that's off, right? The easiest example of this is our temper.
Yeah.
Our temper. Did you know that when your temper raises up, that's actually you exercising your spirit in a wrong way?
Yeah.
But it's your spirit coming out, right? It's coming out through your soul, which is not what we want, right? We don't want our temper to rise up. But even I was touched, with this matter of temper. In Mark chapter 3, it talks about the Lord being angry. And I was like, oh, no, the Lord wouldn't lose his temper. And that's the key. He did not lose his temper, right? When you think of temper, you think of losing your temper, right? As opposed to being angry. Actually, it says, look this another verse up, Ephesians 4:26, be angry, yet do not sin. It is possible to be angry and sin, and it is also possible to be angry and not sin. Right? We should be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your indignation. Right? So this matter of we should force our spirit, right? And many times, for me to pray to the Lord, the other matters that we've mentioned so far of musing on the Word, of calling on the name of the Lord, we're gonna have to force ourselves to do that. We're not always gonna want to do that. I would say for me most of the time I don't want to do that. Sometimes I do, but most of the time I just gotta force myself.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, our spirit is subject to us, so we can force ourselves. Let's read together Roman numeral 1. Okay, this is from the book of Daniel. Now, when Daniel came
to know that the writing had been signed, he went to his house in his upper room. He had windows open toward Jerusalem. And three times daily he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God, because he had always done so previously.
I really appreciate this verse. You know, when I first looked at this message, I would say my heart and my spirit kind of leaped because I was like, oh, Daniel, we just got into this book this last semester, so it's really fresh, right? A little background on this verse. So this is in Daniel chapter 6. And what has happened actually at this time is the Babylonian Empire has been overthrown by the Medo-Persians. And Darius the Mede is the king, right? And some of the other ones who were ruling underneath Darius convinced him they convinced him to sign an edict saying that no one should pray to any other person or god but Darius for 30 days, right? And Daniel's response to this, when he came to know that the writing had been signed, what did he do? Did he go back, take a nap? He say, oh, 30-day vacation from praying. No. He went back to his house, his upper room. He had windows open toward Jerusalem, toward the city of God. Three times daily he knelt on his knees and prayed, gave thanks before his God, because he had always done so previously. He had this habit, right? We want you to see that this is a habit.
Amen.
Right? Three times a day. You know, when we were getting into this semester, I had this thought when we got to this point. How long? You know? He had always done so previously. How long had he done that? If you look at the footnote, his Daniel's praying at this time is related to the children of Israel's release from captivity. And he knew about this because he was in the Word, right? He had read the book of Jeremiah. Okay, and if you do a little bit of number crunching to figure out, okay, when was Book of Jeremiah written, and when does this take place? It's over 40 years. Now, we can't say definitively, oh, he prayed three times a day, daily, for 40 years. But you have to believe he prayed for probably years and years in this way of three times a day praying daily, right? You know, and I also appreciate, I think Brother James mentioned some verses in Daniel chapter 9 of related to the Lord's, related to Daniel calling on the Lord, right? And that chapter, actually, Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 6 are about the same. They're in within the same year. At both times, Darius the Mede is ruling. So when you see Daniel's prayer there in Daniel chapter 9, that's the prayer that that's like the prayer he's praying here in Daniel chapter 6.
Amen.
Right? So when he prays in Daniel chapter 9, it talks about he calls on the Lord, he prays for God's city, he prays for God's people, he confesses their sins. All these things, these were coming out in his prayers three times a day.
Amen.
You know, I appreciated, you know, this matter of exercising the spirit to pray to the Lord. When we pray to the Lord, we don't just want to receive something from Him. We want to receive Him, right? We want to receive who He is.
Amen.
And I appreciated that in Daniel chapter 9, when he prayed in this way, he received some response, right? The angel Gabriel came to him and spoke to him.
Amen.
And actually revealed something further of what was on God's heart, right, concerning the children of Israel. So he received some response. His prayer was not in vain.
Amen.
Letter A says, Daniel would not let anything stop or frustrate his prayer. He knew that his prayer was for the carrying out of God's economy concerning his elect. Therefore, his prayer was a serious matter.
Amen.
You know, I hope we don't have the thought that prayer could be something religious or something that's not serious. I hope we would be a little bit sober about our prayer. That prayer is not just something routine that we do. You know, we want to get our three prayers in a day so that we can, you know, be right with God. That's not what we're after. We're actually after touching this person, right? Letter B says, today prayer is the lifeline in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
The more Satan tries to frustrate our prayer, the more we should pray.
Amen.
You know, I would say this week, Satan will probably try to frustrate your prayer.
Right.
You know, based on what we're getting into.
Yeah.
You know, I had this impression, even Monday night, after the word that was released, Satan does not like this. And he wants to frustrate our prayer. He doesn't want us to pray concerning this. He wants us to pray concerning, you know, other situations. But I would say even we should force ourselves, again, we should force ourselves to pray concerning what we're getting into this week. We should force ourselves to pray concerning knowing God. We should force ourselves to even pray concerning exercising the Spirit to pray.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We should pray for these matters. Amen. Satan wants to frustrate our prayer. If he can frustrate our prayer, do you know what that does?
Wow.
That delays everything. It delays the Lord's coming back. It delays our growth in life. It delays our knowing God. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Roman numeral 2, let's go ahead and read that.
The significance of prayer lies not in asking God for things, but in contacting God and absorbing God.
Amen.
Amen. I really enjoyed this point. In the ministry excerpt, this is very good if you want to look at it. It says, the significance of prayer is to contact God in our spirit and to absorb God himself. Prayer is the human spirit contacting the Spirit of God through which man absorbs God. Therefore, the significance of prayer lies not in asking God for things, but in contacting and absorbing God. I remember reading, there's a ministry book called Lessons on Prayer. And if you get the chance to read that book, I would definitely recommend it. But the title could be a little bit, I don't want to say deceiving, that's not a good word for it. But when you read it, it's not a manual.
Yeah.
It's not a how-to on prayer.
Yeah.
It's not going to teach you to pray and boom, 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 here's all the points.
Yeah.
It's a help, right? There are lessons on how to pray and how we should pray. And there's one really good point on that. It talks about this matter of when we come to God, we shouldn't ask him for things, but contact and absorb him. And I really appreciate it. It mentions that, you know, God is so wise that even when we come to him and you say pray in the wrong way, we pray for things, he still gets what he's after because you contacted him.
Amen.
Right? He still contacted you in return.
Yes.
You still received a little bit of him.
Yes.
So no prayer is too small, I would say.
Yes.
As long as you're praying toward God, he answers that prayer.
Yes.
Maybe not in the way that you think.
Right.
Maybe you asked for a car and he said no. But you contacted him.
Amen.
Right? You received some word back from him, right?
Amen.
It's not a small thing.
Amen.
I'm going to let Z take over.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what's the significance of prayer?
Amen.
To contact God and to absorb God. I think many times we know we should pray, right? But we may feel like, I don't have any burden. I don't have anything to pray. So you have the wrong concept. If you have the concept that prayer is to contact God and to absorb God, then you don't have to have something to pray.
Right.
Because you just come to the Lord and to absorb him.
Amen.
The Lord's presence will come to you and he will fill you up.
Amen.
And you will really enjoy him.
Amen.
So we need a concept change. We need to see the significance of prayer.
Amen.
I was fellowshipping with a brother. Well, by the way, my name is Zija Lee. I go by Z from the church in Milwaukee. I was fellowshipping with a brother kind of regarding prayer recently, and he pointed me to this book I would like to share with you guys. This book is called The God-Man Living.
Yeah.
And then in this book, it portrays Christ in his earthly ministry, and the person that he is when he was on the earth. And there's actually 8 chapters on Christ as a man of prayer. And in this chapter, the first chapter, it gives five kinds of people and 5 stages or types of prayer. Stages of prayer, okay. So the first type of prayer, or that first type of person, is a common man praying the common prayers, okay? And then the second stage, or second type of person, is a pious man, so-called godly man, praying to God in a religious way. Okay, and now the third stage is a God-seeking man, praying to God for the divine attainments and obtainments. Oh, this is wonderful, right? It's starting to getting more wonderful. And then fourth stage, a Christ-seeking, a Christ-seeker, praying desperately to gain Christ in His excellency. And then, I think there's another fifth stage, I think this is the highest stage, is to be a man of prayer. And this was the Lord Jesus as a man of prayer. I would like to ask you all, and even myself, what stage am I? What kind of person am I? And what kind of state of prayer am I in? Are we a common man praying the common prayers? Maybe we just ask the Lord, oh, what about my tests, my exam coming up? Which is not bad, this is a good prayer. What about my future, my job? Or are we a pious man, maybe praying religious in a religious way? Maybe we pray before a meal as the Lord taught us to. Or we pray, let me raise this up a little bit. Or we pray the Lord's Prayer, Father that's who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Many Christians pray in that way. Or are we a higher? Oh, a God seeker. Oh, this is wonderful. God seeker, God seeking. You're praying for God for the divine attainments. Maybe you realize you have a need. Your temper, oh, it's bad. Oh, Lord, deal with my temper. Maybe we're not patient enough. Lord, oh, make me a patient person. Oh, this is starting to be wonderful. And then in the fourth stage, a Christ seeker. This is in Philippians. Paul prays like this in Philippians chapter 3. Let's see, verses 12. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue. Amen. If even I may lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And then it continues. Brothers, I do not account of myself as having laid hold. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus had called me upward. Oh, I really want to be this kind of person. But I will pray for Christ, to gain Christ. Doesn't matter what I've gained in the previous, I forget my past. I don't look into my future, but I want to gain Christ right now. Oh, I want to be this kind of person. I want to be like Paul. Right? So is there anything higher than this? But actually, there is something higher than this. It's a man of prayer. So a man of prayer is one who is always one with God. A man of prayer is one who is living in the presence of God without ceasing. Now, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a man of prayer. So this matter, this person, prayer is not merely an activity to him. Right? But prayer becomes his person. Oh, I have this aspiration. Lord, gain me. Oh, improve me. Oh, increase in me. So that I can become a man of prayer. This was like Daniel. You know, if prayer was just an activity to Daniel, it's very easy just to stop his activity. It's very easy to stop our activities. But Daniel was this kind of person. You can't stop a person. This is who he is. He is a man of prayer. And it doesn't matter what someone tried to stop you from praying. You can't. This is who I am. I can't stop. So the decree comes out. He just goes, oh, it's time for prayer. It's my time. I'm praying because I'm a praying person. I hope there's an aspiration within us.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord, make me a man of prayer.
Amen.
Can we all pray this together? Lord, make me a man of prayer. Amen. Amen. But let me tell you, an aspiration may not be enough. You may aspire to become a buff person, right? But you aspire to be a very strong person, physically. But as you're aspiring, you're just sitting on your couch eating potato chips. You're like, oh man, one day I'm going to be so buff, right? That's not going to work very well. Or if you want to be a professor, but you need to get some training. You need some exercise your mind. You need to go to school, get a PhD, and then eventually you need to do postdoc. Yeah. Many years, yeah. Much practice, much exercise, much experience. Then you can become a professor. But so similarly, yeah. This is in our spiritual life as well. Yeah. If you want to be strong as a man of prayer, yeah. You must exercise. Yeah. And this exercise is enjoyable, right? Yeah. Okay, let's read Roman number 3 together. Yeah. The proper organ for prayer is a human spirit. That's read A and B as well. The Bible shows that God is the Spirit, and that for us to contact God, we must use our spirit. We need to use the proper organ to pray. The organ for prayer is the human spirit. Amen. How about let's all recite John 4:24, I think most of us have it, right? God is spirit, and those who worship God, Him, must worship in spirit and truthfulness. So this word worship, means to fellowship with God. And how do we fellowship with God? It's not in our mind. We need to remember this. Prayer is not the exercise of our human mentality. But prayer is the exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
Oftentimes, our mind is always engaged. Actually, this is a very difficult matter for us. That's why we need a lot of exercise in our spirit. I think I started to know my spirit when I was in college. And by just calling on the Lord with some brothers, I started to know the sense in my spirit. And my spirit is starting to be strengthened, starting to be strong.
Yeah.
But I remember I started going to conferences, to trainings, right? And then every message, before the message you had to pray,
yeah.
After the message you had to pray with your partner, and then you had to pray all the time. I ran out of prayer. I don't know what to pray. One time I was sitting there, I was praying with brother. I was like, before I was preparing my mind, right? I was thinking, oh man, what should I pray? Okay, let me look at the message. But actually, we need to learn. We need to learn to pray from our spirit.
Yeah.
This is not something we can actually teach you how to do, but this is something you can experience. You must practice, and then you will have a sense in your spirit to know how to pray in this way.
Amen.
So Ephesians 6:18 says, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in
spirit.
In spirit, not in mind. Yes. In spirit. Amen. 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 Okay, let's read C together. The human spirit is the deepest part of our being.
A person who
prays with his spirit contacts God with his innermost being. Amen. Let's read one as well. We need to learn to reject our mind when we pray. The faculty of prayer is not the mind, but the spirit. We should forget about our thoughts, not concerned with what we should say. Amen. Actually, when we come to the Lord, it's wonderful when we do not know what we should say. Sometimes we come to the Lord, we have some, we want to pray something, which is good. You have this burden, you want to pray, but what if you don't have anything? But you still come to the Lord anyway. Here's a verse in Romans 8:26. Moreover, in like manner, the Spirit also joins in to help us in our weakness. You know what's our weakness? For we do not know for what we should pray as is fitting. Isn't that our weakness many times? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this should be our practice. Sometimes we come to the Lord, we may not know what to pray for, but we just groan.
Amen.
What is groaning? We touched on this the first day. It's call on the Lord. Many times I come to the Lord, I don't know what to pray. I come to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, I just come to you.
Amen.
Lord, I just open to you.
Yeah.
Lord, I want to absorb you.
Amen.
Oh, I want to contact you.
Amen.
You know, as you pray in this way, we'll touch something else. So let's read two together.
Amen.
We should simply turn and pray according to the inner feeling. The feeling deep within us is the feeling of the Spirit. When we pray according to this feeling, we are exercising our spirit in prayer. Amen. So as we're praying, as we're groaning before the Lord, we're just starting to absorb Him, speaking to Him, then we may have an inner sense. What is the inner sense? It's hard to describe what the inner sense is. But Romans 8:6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace.
Amen.
So there's a sense of life within, a inner feeling. I'll give you an example. As I was preparing for this message, I was just coming to the Lord. I was calling on Him, and I started to pray, Lord, Lord, I want You to speak.
Amen.
Oh, save! I don't want the words come from my mouth to be from me. Oh, I want You to flow out from me.
Amen.
But as I was praying that, there's an inner sense.
Amen.
The Lord spoke to me. Well, I had this sense that I was still holding on to a certain things that I wanted to speak, and the Lord didn't want to speak. There's a very little inner sense. Then right away, I just prayed, Lord, Lord, even though I'm praying this, that I want You to speak, but there's something that I still wanted to speak. Lord, forgive me. Oh, I confess this matter to You.
Amen.
Lord, wash me in Your blood.
Amen.
But this is the inner sense.
Yeah.
As you're praying in this way, yeah, you will start to experience this.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, I'll give you a few practical things,
yeah,
regarding to help you start to practice, start to exercise. One thing, you should set a time.
Yeah.
You should set a time to pray before the Lord. For a certain amount of time, a few years past, I would set every Thursday, for 1 hour in the evening time. I would go to my car, I would close the door, and I would just pray. No distractions, no phones, no anything. I just pray. But this is very good. Just like a physical exercise, you need to be consistent.
Yeah.
To exercise weekly to build up the physical capacity, but similarly in the spiritual way.
Amen.
Yeah. Pray with a companion. Set a time. Pray with the companions. This will exercise you as well. And when you come to the Lord in prayer, don't be in a hurry.
Yeah.
Just linger there before the Lord. Sometimes we may have a time crunch. But so it's good to set a time to pray, so we can linger there before the Lord and see what is the Lord giving you in your spirit.
Yeah.
All right. And then one biggest hindrance to our prayer is the wandering of the mind. You probably all experience this. Many times for me, I feel like if I have 1 hour of prayer, maybe even half an hour, I was wandering in my mind. It just goes everywhere. I found, and through the ministry and the help of some saints that I fellowship with, I find certain ways to help with that is to start praising the Lord. When you find your mind is wandering, oh, praise the Lord! Release your spirit. Bring back your mind onto your spirit. And then another good way is to use some verses to pray read. The verses will help you to focus. But the reason we come to the verse is not merely to read the word, but to touch the Lord. So we don't actually have to read through the whole word, or read through the whole verse, or pray read through the whole verse. But as soon as we sense the inner sense, as we're pray reading, we follow that inner sense. We grab onto that inner sense, and we pray according to that inner sense. And another matter that will really help us in our exercise to be strong in our spirit, from the West Coast college training, I enjoy the brother said, we need to go to the gym. Where's the gym? The gym is the prayer meetings of the church. I wouldn't ask, raise a hand, but I don't think that many college students actually go to the prayer meetings in a regular way. But you realize that's a spiritual gym.
Amen.
You can be very strong. You can be very strong when you go to the prayer meetings of the church. And in the prayer meetings of the church, they are personal trainers, the brother said. They're the older saints, right? They will train us. But when you go to a prayer meeting, you'll realize, man, the older saints really know how to pray. Their spirit is so strong. Or you can learn from them.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Almost out of time. Let's read Roman numeral 4.
Amen.
We need to pray without hindrance and deal with our prayer. Let's read A. Praying without hindrance requires a conscience void of offense. Amen. So praying does require a conscience with void of offense. Hebrews 10:22. Let us come forward to the Holy of Holies with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our bodies washed with a pure water. You will experience this. If you come to the Lord as in this way, in prayer, just touching Him to contact Him and to absorb Him, the Lord will touch you in your conscience.
Yeah.
Okay, now what happens when the Lord touches you in conscience? Let's read B. The dealing for prayer is the confession of sins. Whenever there is a sense of sin, a sense of accusation and offense in our conscience, we should immediately confess our sins before God and be confessed by the Lord's blood. Amen. Amen. I like this word. Maybe we should underline that. We should immediately confess our sins. When the Lord touches you, don't try to explain.
Yeah.
So the reason I sin is because, or don't try to, just reason with the Lord. And confession doesn't mean a promise to not do that thing again. Confession is merely to say, yes, Lord, you're right. I confess this matter to you.
Amen.
I was wrong in this matter.
Amen.
Forgive me.
Amen.
Wash me.
Amen.
So this is very simple. When we confess in this way, we will have a sense. Our spirit is released.
Amen.
One time in a conference meeting, the brother speaking asked us to confess for half an hour. And then I was like, when he said that, I was like, I don't have that many things to confess. Maybe one thing I think I can ask for forgiveness or be washed. But then when I went to spend time with the Lord,
Yeah. The
Lord just started shining. I confessed that one thing leads to another, that other thing leads to another thing, and then after the time of confession, oh, I was released. I was enjoying the Lord much more. Oh, the spirit within me is bubbling up.
Amen.
Oh, this should be our practice. Amen. So let's read Roman numeral 4 or 5 together. The greatest benefit in praying before God and contacting God is that we receive mercy and find grace for timely help to meet our every need. Oh, do we need mercy?
Amen.
Do we need grace?
Amen.
Do we need help? Then we need to pray. We'll come to the Lord.
Amen.
Contact the Lord.
Amen.
Absorb the Lord.
Amen.
I can testify this is the most enjoyable thing.
Amen.
When we come to the Lord in this way, oh, I enjoy the Lord so much. May we practice.
Amen.
Amen. May we exercise.
Amen.
Amen. May we enjoy.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the focus together and finish.
We need to exercise our spirit and maintain a conscience void of offense in order to contact and absorb God through prayer
so that we may receive God's mercy and grace for timely help to meet our every need. Amen. 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 Let's pray with our neighbor.